Hi there. My name is Rock and my lovely wife is named Ro. Yes, that is right. Rock and Ro. All right, everybody. Today's message is from Epistle to the Philippians chapter 2. So grab your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. Pull it up on your iPad, tablet, or whatever futuristic glowing rectangle you brought today. If you don't have an iPad, go ahead and use your phone. If you don't have a phone, honestly, congratulations. You're probably the least distracted person in the room. And if you somehow came in with absolutely nothing, no Bible, no tablet, no phone, don't worry, we still love you. Just look around, find the holiest looking person near you, and scoot next to them. All right, everybody ready? Get comfortable, get focused, and prepare yourself for the most exciting journey through Philippians chapter 2. Enjoy! Philippians chapter 2. The mind of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the powerful name of Jesus. Thank you for your word that transforms hearts and renews minds. Lord God, as we open Philippians chapter 2, give us understanding. Shape us into the likeness of Christ. Remove pride. Teach us humility. And if anyone hearing this message does not yet know you, draw them by your Spirit and save them this very day. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I need to start with a historical setting. This will set the stage for what we will be talking about today. Paul wrote Philippians around AD 60 to 62 while under house arrest in Rome. He was chained to Roman guards, awaiting trial before Caesar. Yet instead of discouragement, this letter overflows with joy. The church in Philippi was the first church planted in Europe. It began with Lydia, a formerly demon-possessed slave girl and a Roman jailer. It was a diverse church, wealthy and poor, Jewish and Gentile, Roman and Greek. But like every church, they faced challenges. There were pressures from outside persecution and tensions inside the church. So in chapter 2, Paul addresses unity, humility, and having the mindset of Christ. And church, if there was ever a chapter the modern church needs, it's Philippians chapter 2. Now, we're going to get to our first section called The Call to Unity. I will ask Ro to read God's Word.
Philippians chapter 2 verses 1 to 4. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests but each of you to the interests of the others.
As we get into God's Word today, let's look and see what Paul is saying here. Paul begins in verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. Paul is not questioning whether these things exist. He's not saying, if you might possibly have these things. No, he is building upon spiritual realities already present in the life of the believer. In other words, since you are united with Christ, since you've experienced the comfort of His love, since the Holy Spirit lives within you, since God has shown you mercy and compassion, then your life should reflect it. Paul is reminding the church, you're not just a group of religious people gathering together. You're connected by the Spirit of the living God, the same Christ who saved you, the same Spirit who indwells you, the same grace that forgave you, is meant to unite you. Then Paul says in verse 2, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Notice Paul's heart here. As an apostle sitting in chains, what would bring him joy? Not money, not comfort, not freedom from prison. What brought Paul joy was seeing believers walking in unity. Church division grieves the heart of God, but unity glorifies Christ. Now, unity does not mean uniformity. It does not mean everyone has the same personality, the same background, or the same preferences. The church of Philippi had wealthy people and poor people, Romans and Greeks, former idol worshippers, and devout Jews. Yet Paul says they can still be one in Christ. Why? Because biblical unity is not built around personalities. It is built around Jesus Christ. Unity is not everyone thinking identically. It is everyone moving in the same spiritual direction, focused on the same Savior, driven by the same gospel. Then Paul becomes very practical in verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility value others above yourselves. Now, this confronts the spirit of our culture head-on. The world teaches, climb higher, promote yourself, demand your rights, make everything about you. Social media culture says, build your platform, protect your image, get recognition, make sure people notice you. But the kingdom of God operates differently. Selfish ambition says, promote yourself. Vain conceit says, you deserve more. But humility says, how can I serve? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Jesus is the perfect example of this. The King of Glory washed the feet of his disciples. The Creator touched lepers. The Son of God humbled himself for sinners like us. Then Paul says in verse 4, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. This is supernatural living. Our flesh naturally asks, what about me? What do I want? What do I deserve? But the spirit-filled believer begins asking, how can I encourage someone? How can I pray for someone? How can I help carry another person's burden? This kind of living is impossible without Christ transforming the heart. You cannot manufacture biblical humility through human effort alone. Only Jesus can change a proud heart into a servant's heart. And, church, this is important. Unity flows from humility, and humility flows from truly knowing Jesus. The closer you walk with Christ, the less you need attention, recognition, or applause from people. Because when you see the humility of Jesus at the cross, it changes the way you treat everyone around you. Roe, please read section 2, The Mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11.
The Mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you, Roe. Now we reach one of the most powerful Christ-centered passages in the New Testament. Let us examine verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What is the mindset of Christ? Look at verse 6. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Jesus is fully God, yet he did not cling to his rights. Verse 7. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The Creator became a servant. The King became a baby. The Almighty stepped into weakness. Now verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Not just death, crucifixion, which is the most humiliating form of execution in the Roman world. That is humility. That is love. That is the gospel. But the story doesn't end at the cross. Verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. The path down led to exaltation, pure joy. Verses 10 to 11. That the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee, believer or unbeliever, heaven, earth under the earth. One day, everyone will acknowledge Jesus is Lord. The only question is, will you bow now in salvation or later in judgment? Brothers and sisters, humility leads to glory. And the mind of Christ is the cure for pride, division, and selfishness. This leads us to section 3. Shine like stars. Ro, please read Philippians chapter 2 verses 12 to 18.
Shine like stars. Philippians chapter 2 verses 12 to 18. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me.
Paul now applies this theology to daily life. Verse 12, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He does not say work for your salvation. He says work it out. Let what God has done inside you show outwardly. And here's the power behind it. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God works in you. Then you work it out. Then comes a challenging verse. Look at verse 14. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Everything? Yes. Grumbling dims your witness. Complaining clouds your joy. Verse 15. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. The darker the world gets, the brighter believers shine. We live in a crooked and warped generation, but we are called to shine. How? Verse 16. By holding firmly to the word of life. Stay in the word. Stay surrendered. Stay humble. Section 4. Examples of Christ-like servants. Row, please read Philippians chapter 2, verses 19-30.
Examples of Christ-like servants. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19-30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help ye yourselves could not give me.
After Paul teaches about the humility of Christ, unity in the church, and shining like stars in a dark world, he now gives two living examples of what that looks like in real life. He points to Timothy and Epaphroditus. These men were not just believers by name. They were servants in action. Paul first speaks about Timothy and says, verse 20, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. That is a powerful statement. Timothy had the heart of a shepherd. He was not just concerned about himself. He cared deeply about the spiritual condition of others. Paul says in verse 21, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. That verse confronts us. The natural tendency of a human heart is to ask, what about me? What do I want? What benefits me? But Timothy had a different spirit. He looked out for the things of Christ. He had genuine concern for the church. Timothy reminds us that Christ-like service is not about position, title, or recognition. It is about having a heart that truly cares for people. Then Paul speaks about Epaphroditus. He calls him, look at verse 25, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. Notice those three descriptions. Brother speaks of relationship. Co-worker speaks of labor. Fellow soldier speaks of spiritual battle. Epaphroditus was not a spectator. He was involved in the work of Christ. He served, sacrificed, and even risked his life for the gospel. Paul says in verse 30, he almost died for the work of Christ. That is sacrificial service. Epaphroditus reminds us that following Jesus will cost us something. Real ministry is not always comfortable. Sometimes it requires weariness, sacrifice, burden, and risk. But Paul says people like him should be honored. Why? Because Christ-like servants reflect the heart of Jesus. Timothy showed genuine concern. Epaphroditus showed sacrificial commitment. Together, they show us what Philippians 2 looks like when it is lived out. The mind of Christ is not just something we believe. It is something we practice. It shows up in how we love, how we serve, how we sacrifice, how we care for others, how we put the work of Christ above our own comfort. Brothers and sisters, God is still looking for servants like Timothy and Epaphroditus. God is looking for people who do not just attend church, but care for the church. People who do not just talk about faith, but live it. People who are willing to serve when nobody applauds. People who are willing to sacrifice because Jesus is worthy. Christ-like humility produces Christ-like service. And when the mind of Christ is truly in us, we will not live only for ourselves. We will live for Jesus and for the good of others. Maybe you've been listening today and you realize something. You don't have the mind of Christ. You don't have peace. You're still living for yourself. The humility of Jesus wasn't just an example. It was a rescue mission. He humbled himself to the cross for you. He died for your sin. He rose again. He conquered death. The Bible says every knee will bow. You can bow now willingly and receive life. Jesus offers forgiveness. He offers a new heart. He offers eternal life. To be born again means you surrender your life to Christ. You repent of your sin. You trust him fully. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you want that today, pray from your heart. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you are God in the flesh. I believe you died for my sins and rose again. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Give me a new heart. I surrender to you. Be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that sincerely, you're born again. Welcome to the family of God. As we come to a close, Philippians chapter 2 calls us to live differently because Christ has changed us. We are called to walk in unity, not division. We are called to serve in humility, not pride. We are called to obey without grumbling, even when the world around us is dark. We are called to shine like stars, holding firmly to the word of life. And we are called to serve sacrificially, just like Timothy and Epaphroditus. The mind of Christ is not weakness. It is strength surrendered to God. Jesus humbled himself. Jesus served. Jesus obeyed. Jesus gave his life. And now God has exalted him above every name. So brothers and sisters, let us live with that same mind. Let us love deeply. Let us serve faithfully. Let us walk humbly. Let us shine brightly, and may our lives declare to a watching world, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for the humility of the cross and the victory of the resurrection. Lord God, give us the mind of Christ. Remove pride. Unite your church. Help us shine like stars in a dark world. Strengthen those who are weary. Fill us with joy. And may every part of our lives bring glory to Jesus Christ, our exalted Lord. In his precious name we pray, amen. Have a wonderful week.